And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to show number 123. This is the Sports Kings from Queens College Football Playoff Prediction Show. We are Darren, Kevin, and Gino. Please listen to us anyway. You get your podcast, like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook, give us a like, give us a share, join our Facebook page. And if you like something we say, give us a comment. Tell us what you're thinking. If you don't agree with something we say, give us a comment. Tell us what you're thinking. We're going to go through the college football playoffs. We're going to talk about who we're predicting for the 12. But before we get there, we did a Big Ten show where we went through the teams. We did an SEC show where we went through the teams. And we're going to go through a couple of other teams that are in the mix. Thoughts, information, maybe a couple of, you know, pieces of info you may or may not know about some of these other teams. Then we'll get into the playoff prediction stuff. So we're going to start it out with Kev. Why don't you talk to us about one of those teams, Kev?
Yep. One team that's not affiliated with any conference, of course, the major independent, the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Marcus Freeman entering his third year. This is a big year for him. First year is 9-4 and 10-3. You know, Notre Dame expects a little bit more, and I think this is a year they do more than that. The offense last year, kind of middling. You know, they had Hartman, but they didn't have the dynamic passing game. The rushing offense was pretty good. Well, they're changing that this year. They brought in a new offensive coordinator. They brought in Mike Denbrook from LSU. So they're going to try to open it up a little bit, run some more of the – probably some of the more of the quarterback – you know, run pass option type plays using the dual threat because they brought in Riley Leonard from Duke, replacing Sam Hartman. So the second straight year, they've gone to the transfer portal and brought in an ACC quarterback. The running backs, they need to replace Audric Estime from last year. They do bring back two of their top three, Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price. Now, these two may have been backups, but they did combine for, you know, over 650 yards between the two of them. They averaged about 5.5 yards combined. So these are two guys that can run the ball. So they shouldn't have any problem with the rush. The wide receiver room, huge turnover. Now, this is a name that I was surprised when I read about it. So in the offseason, they had fired their wide receiver coach, Chancey Stuckey. Might ring a bell for Jet fans.
Former Jet, great out of Clemson. Absolutely.
Yep. Got played about 2 years for the Jets back in the late 2000s, a couple of other teams, bounced around, got a five-year NFL career out of it. But when they fired him, they also lost four other wide receivers. They departed. So they brought back, you know, the best returning guy is probably Jaden Greathouse. Only 265 yards last year, but limited action, averaged almost 15 yards a catch. So he's got some talent. They bring in Bo Collins from Clemson. 500 yards, 13 yards per catch average. So the wide receiver may be a little shaky there to start, but I think between Denbrook game planning, and I think with the strong running game with the two guys they have, and with Riley Leonard there as a dual threat passer, I think the offense is going to be fine. The defense is going to be the strength of this team. This was a sixth-ranked scoring defense in 2023. They bring back two first-team All-Americans on the defensive line. They have nose tackle Howard Cross as the second, and they have the strong safety Xavier Watts. They also added from Duke a transfer, their edge rusher R.J. Oben, so that's going to even strengthen the pass rush even more. The key for Notre Dame this year, the schedule. It's really not a difficult schedule. They opened up against Texas A&M. You look at the rest of the schedule, they've got two other games until their last one against teams that are currently ranked. On the 28th of September, they play Louisville at home, who's ranked 22nd. On the 19th, they're playing Georgia Tech, who's currently 23rd, again, at home. They don't play another ranked team on the road until the last game of the season when they go to USC for their annual game. So that'll be November 30th. So really, they open with Texas A&M on the road, they end with USC on the road, and there's not a lot in between there. They're gonna they're going to wind up having a good team just by default, or a good record by default there. Now, for those of us in the New York area, a couple of local games if you really want to go see them. They're playing the two service academies on the East Coast. They're playing Navy at MetLife in late October, October 26th to be specific. And they're playing Army at Yankee Stadium on November 23rd. You know, I mean, not difficult games. You know, really, you look at the schedule. When you go into USC at the end of the season, they've got a real shot at being undefeated.
Darren, just one point on the schedule. It used to be big. They schedule a lot of Big Ten games, and because of the increased amount of teams in the conference, those teams don't have a lot of room for out-of-conference games, so they don't want to beat themselves up. So where Notre Dame played Purdue every year and Michigan every year and all that, not doing it this year. You know what I mean? Yep. It's a little bit different, like you said. Sorry.
No, that's fine. No, I was going to say they're playing like the half ACC schedule because they're football-wise, they're sort of, I'll call it, affiliated with the ACC. Other sports are fully in the conference, but you know, football, they still want to be independent, so they're sort of playing a half ACC-type schedule, not impacting the conference at all, but that's where they're playing most of their games. That's why they're playing teams like Louisville and Georgia Tech, among others. So again, this is a team that there's no doubt that they're going to be one of the 12 teams in the playoffs and good chance of being, you know, seeded real high and have a shot to advance in the playoffs. Any comments, guys?
No.
I agree with everything you're saying. Yeah. I think Notre Dame is really solid. They're physical. They're a good defensive team, particularly against the pass. Not that they're bad against the run, but against the pass, they're excellent. And fact of the matter is that, well, they used to have a bunch of huge games all over the place because they scheduled everybody. These conferences with 17 teams in the ACC and 18 in the Big Ten, they can't schedule Notre Dame. They need to have one or two patches on the schedule to kind of pad their stats and try to get the 6 wins. So I think it makes it a little bit different. And Irish did what they had to do. They're playing a couple of tough games, and let's see what that comes up with.
Yep. Gino.
All right, we're going to head over to the ACC conference. We're going to talk about a couple of teams over there. First off is Clemson. This is Dabo Sweeney's team. They finished 9-4. They won the Gator Bowl last year. They bring back a very good defense. They have a really great edge rusher in TJ Parker. It's the offense needs to be better. The quarterback is Cade Klubnik. The running back is Phil Matad. The wide receivers, Tyler Brown, Adam Randall. The offensive line needs to play better. This is a team that may win 9 games. Now, I say that, and that's coming off last week's loss to start the season to Georgia, where they just really didn't play well at all. So, but Clemson should be there. They should win probably 9 games. With the expanded format, are they going to get in? I think that's a question. We'll find out based on what happens with the rest of their schedule. The second team I'm going to talk about is Florida State. So Florida State won the ACC last year. They finished 13-1. They lost in the Orange Bowl. This is a good offensive line. They lost a lot of players to the NFL, like Trey Benson, Keon Coleman. So it meant they needed to rebuild the whole offensive skill positions. They did this through the transfer protocol. They brought in quarterback from Oregon State, DJ Uiagalelei. They brought in a wide receiver in Mac Benson from Alabama. The defense is good, but not great. They're depending on a couple of sophomores and juniors like Hakeem Williams at wide receiver to help this bunch. A couple weeks ago, I would have told you this is a team that should win 10 games. However, first 2 weeks of the season, this team has lost to Georgia Tech 24-21 at Georgia Tech, and then lost at home to BC 28-13. They are not blending well at the moment. They are at the moment probably out of this, but we will see what the future brings with this team. Kev, I believe there's another ACC team you wanted to mix into this.
Yeah. like I said, before the season, Clemson, Florida State were clearly the top two. And with Florida State, especially their two losses both being conference losses, that opens up the path for other teams here. And Clemson looking so bad. And I think one team that could really take advantage of this is Miami. Now, yeah, we're going to overreact to week one, of course, because that's what we all do. But they dominated Florida. And we thought Florida was going to at least be competitive with the tough schedule they're facing. But Miami really took care of them. And, you know, you take a look, this is a team that's really solid, potentially great, very explosive on offense. You know, they got to overcome Mario Cristobal's coaching at times because he can be a little shaky with some of the clock management. Remember him losing the game last year, screwing up the timeouts at the end there. But you look at the offense, the quarterback, they added Cam Ward from Washington State. The last 2 years, he's thrown close to 7,000 yards, 48 touchdown passes, only 15 picks. So the guy can throw the ball over the place. They brought in running back Damian Martinez from Oregon State. Again, the last 2 years out there, he ran for 2,100 yards, a 6 yard per carry average, and scored 16 touchdowns. And they bring back their wide receiver, Xavier Restrepo, who caught, you know, 74 balls for just short of 1,000 yards, 5 touchdowns. So they've got weapons at quarterback, at running back, at wide receiver. They're about as skilled as almost any team in the ACC. The offense is fine. The defense, you know, a little shaky at times last year. They bring back their linebacker, Francisco Maugoa, who led the team last year in tackles, led the team with 7.5 sacks. I think one of the unsung things, again, with the benefit of seeing week one already, they're going to miss their young defensive lineman. He's a sophomore this year, Reuben Bain Jr. Went out last week in the first half of the injury. They're hoping it's only a couple of weeks. As a freshman, he was tied for the team lead with sacks. That's going to be a little tricky to overcome, but you hopefully it's early enough where they still have a couple of non-conference games. But I think Miami has a real chance to sneak in here and steal this division or this conference. Gina?
Okay. Those are the three ACC teams we wanted to talk about. And we're going to move over now to a couple of teams that are in the Big 12 that we haven't talked about yet. Darren, why don't you start us off?
Okay. Well, I'm going to kick it off here with Rock Chalk Jayhawk, the Kansas Jayhawks. Coach Lance Leipold and his 9-4 Jayhawks. They're pretty stacked and they're back. And to talk about 9 wins with this team is pretty impressive because between 2017 and 2021, they won 9 games combined. So the fact that they've turned it around so quickly is impressive. When Leipold took over for Les Miles, he went 2-10, then 6-7, now 9-4. And the 9-4 record not only is impressive for the turnaround, but it's the fourth winningest season in Kansas football history. That's how proud this football team has been. We had the outlier back in 2007 where they went 12-1. They were 10-2 in 95, and of course the memorable 10-1 in 1905 under the great Doc Kennedy. I'm joking, of course. None of us know who Doc Kennedy is. Here's the thing. The offense will be great, okay? Jalen Daniels is back. He's healthy. He's ready to go. He's a huge dual threat guy, but he can really sling it down the field. They're a real explosive offense. They have Devin Neal back at running back, who's real solid. It's a good, solid, running back room. Top 4 wide receivers on this team return. And Lawrence Arnold, Quinton Skinner, and Luke Grimm average 18, 20, and 17 yards per catch, respectively. So this team likes to go down the field. The question mark on this team offensively is going to be the O-line. Practically everybody's brand new. They got one guy staying over. So it's going to be interesting to see how they adapt up front. On defense, this team is solid. They return their secondary intact, led by star cornerback Kobe Bryant. Sounds familiar, but he spells it C-O-B-E-E. Okay, and they have Melo Dotson out there in the secondary as well to help out. Front 7 also experienced and pretty big. All four defensive linemen started at least one point last year, and they add in a couple of transfers to help out. Linebackers are big and quick. You know, Kansas has a lot to look forward to with this season. For Kansas to make the playoff, they must have better red zone defense. They struggled in the red zone on defensively. They gave up a lot of touchdowns, and they must get that O-line to gel on the offensive side of the ball. The schedule makers have been pretty kind to the Jayhawks. They miss Utah. They miss Oklahoma State. They miss Arizona, amongst others. They get Colorado and TCU at home, and their big game is when they head to K-State. So what's their big game of the season? K-State, of course. It's the opposite of basketball in this rivalry. State has beaten Kansas 15 straight. Last time they won was 07. And they need to get even though it's on the road, Kansas needs to find a way to win this one in order to really be in that Big 12 championship game. I think Kansas has a real shot to get into the playoff. I think they've got a lot of offense. I think they have solid enough defense. Let's see what happens. Rock Chalk Jayhawk. Rock Chalk Jayhawk, I should say. And Kev, you wanted to talk about one of the Big 12 teams as well.
Yeah, one of the newbies to the Big 12 as we've Pac-12 dissipated, and Utah was one of the ones that moved over to the Big 12. Kyle Whittingham is 20th year already at Utah. This team really is going to be dependent on health. That's going to be the big thing for them. Cam Rising, if you watched him 2 years ago, he was one of the more exciting players in college football. Blew out his knee in the bowl game, missed all of last year. Utah missed him big time. When he's healthy, he's a dual threat, can throw the ball down the field, runs well, very exciting to watch. And now that he's in the Big 12, where you're going to get a little bit more, you know, Saturday afternoon type games, more of the country's going to see Cam Rising. He's fun to watch. The other guy, one of his favorite targets from 2 years ago was the tight end, Brent Cuthie. He's another guy that missed all year last year. He's going to be a big returning key as well as at the tight end position. Wide receiver, a little weak. They just strengthened that a little bit. They brought in from USC Dorian Sainer. You know, last year was a little shaky there at USC, but the 2 years before that, back in 2022, when he was with Arizona, so this is his third school in 3 years, over 1,100 yards receiving. So he's got the ability there to make plays, and with Rising at quarterback, I think he'll be a big help there. The strength of this team is going to be the running game. Micah Bernard, who missed 11 games last year, is back healthy. They also have Dijon Stanley and Jalen Glover. This is a team that's going to run the ball, control the ball, use Cam Rising as a dual threat, and when they need to pass it, Rising is going to be able to swing the ball down the field. The defense, Winningham's defense, is always top-notch. A lot of guys return there, so I think they're going to be just fine defensively this year. And you talk about the schedule, Darren, just like you talked with Kansas. You know, Utah's schedule, their two big tests are probably going to be at Oklahoma State on the 21st and home for Arizona on the 28th. Those are the only two teams that are currently ranked on their schedule. If they, you know, that sets up for a chance to have a real nice record here in the Big 12 and maybe make the Big 12 championship game. Darren, I think you got another team you want to talk about.
Love the state of Kansas. We're going to go from Lawrence to Manhattan, and let's talk about the Wildcats. Chris Klieman has done a great job at Kansas State. They've only had Bill Schneider, and everybody else they tried has always sucked. But Klieman has done a really good job. 8-win seasons in 4 of his first 5 years there. And they're a top-tier team in this conference. And now with the loss of Texas and Oklahoma, are they the team that can make the next step as being one of the dominant teams? They might just be able to do that. Last year, this team lost 4 games all by one possession. Three points to Missouri, 3 to Texas, 8 to Oklahoma State, 7 to Iowa State. They're in every game. This team, where it starts for them, is all about quarterback, all right? Will Howard departs for Ohio State, but sophomore Avery Johnson steps in to take over. Johnson was one of the highest recruits in K-State history. Played a little bit last year. Can sling it. Can run it. Can do it all. His big thing is he's got to avoid the turnover. Okay, if he can do that, he'll be fine. He's a tremendous athlete. Obviously, that dual threat like we talked about. The receivers are solid. Jace Brown and Keegan Johnson, return. And transfer Dante Cephas is a playmaker. They also have Oakley coming in to play tight end. He replaces Sinat, who's up in the Commander Land and Geno Land in the NFL. So they're going to be fine on the outside. Running backs are really good. DJ Giddens and his 1,226 yards and 10 scores returns, right? Then you throw in athletic Colorado transfer Dylan Edwards, and you have a great 1-2 punch in the backfield. O-line has lots of changes, but they did really well in the portal with this, and they kept their center. I think that they usually find a way to produce it. I think they're going to be just fine. Defensive side of the ball, this team is very good. Their big issue is they need to get more sacks, okay? This team's solid against the run. They do great with tackles for loss. They just don't get sacks. The linebackers are very good. Austin Moore and Austin Romaine, they can play. The team's strength is the secondary with Jacob Parrish and his 4 picks return, and safety Siegel and Payne are excellent. If they can get more pressure up front, the secondary could be really special, actually. As I said a lot, the key to this team will be the maturity of Avery Johnson and the pass rush. If Johnson limits turnovers and K-State can get to the quarterback, they will be a playoff team. They also need to improve upon special teams a bit as well. Here's the thing. The schedule maker was great to them. They have three really tough games, and they're all at home. They get Kansas at home. They get Oklahoma State at home. They get Arizona at home. Okay, they visit Colorado and BYU, probably the two roughest games that they're playing on the road. Their big game to me is the Oklahoma State game on the 28th of September. All three of the highlighted home games I just mentioned are big, but this one's huge because Oklahoma State has done well against K-State. They've beaten four of the last five. They got to get that monkey off the back. If they can do that, I think that they can win outright. They can win the Big 12 and get into the championship game at least and have a real shot of being in that playoff. Well, you have a team that you wanted to touch on here in the Big 12.
That's right. It's Arizona, unbelievably. We're talking about Arizona in the Big 12. They finished 2023 10-3. They won the Alamo Bowl. Jed Fisher is off to Washington, so first-year head coach Brent Brennan takes over. Two of the top college players are at skill positions on this team, quarterback Noah Fifita, wide receiver Teteria McMillan. They join a couple of guys from the portal because this offense was rebuilt. Running back from New Mexico, Jacoby Crosley Merritt, Darren? I got it, right?
I believe you got it right. I don't have it in front of me. I'm sorry.
They rebuilt the defense in the portal. The pass rush is not going to be very good this year. For this team to win, they're going to need the pass protection to be good. They got to give the skill position guys a chance to actually get the wide receivers to get open and the quarterback to be able to get them the ball. It's a team that could win 7-8 games. We're going to find out if they can win more. Actually, next week is going to be one of their big games to start it right off here. September 13th, they have Kansas State. And I think that's going to be a really good test for them. You're going to see if they're actually going to be really good or if they're just going to be, you know, middle of the pack in this conference. And that's Arizona. Darren, who else you got in this conference?
One last one. But before I get to that, the game on the 13th is a Friday night game. So if you do want to catch it and you want to get a chance to watch Arizona, Kansas State, it's a good matchup. It's going to be offense versus defense a little bit in Manhattan Friday night under the lights. Anyway, the other team in the Big 12 that's really a player is Oklahoma State. They went 10-4 last year. Mike Gundy and his boys are ready to win this version of the Big 12. No Texas, no Oklahoma, no problem. That means the path could go right through Stillwater and their 18 straight winning seasons, okay? And only his seventh year at quarterback, Alan Bauman returns. Also had stints at Texas Tech and Michigan, by the way. And he has a stacked offense. Ollie Gordon, I think, is the best running back in this conference. He rushed last year for 1,732 yards and 21 touchdowns. He should even be better this year. The O-line returns four starters, and it's a really good offensive line. They were good a year ago. They're going to be just as good, if not better, this year. The wide receivers are exceptional. Brendan Presley, Rashid Owens, Wazoo transfer, Dijon Stribling. Should be a great trio. Defensively, they're solid. They force turnovers very well. They make big plays, but they're not very strong against the run in a conference where a couple of their competitors run the ball well. Linebackers return guy Nick Martin, who had 140 tackles, 16 for loss, and 6 sacks. Colin Oliver had 73 tackles, 15.5 for loss, and 6 sacks. So these guys are active. They're all over the place. Secondary returns all four starters. Safeties tackle well, and cornerback Kendall Daniels is a very good one. The schedule for this team, 5 of its last 6 games are against non-bowl teams from a year ago, okay? They get to skip Arizona. They get to skip Kansas on the schedule, so they miss a couple of good teams. Their big games are Utah at home, and they get Arkansas at home this week, actually, which will be a pretty cool one. They visit K-State, as Gino mentioned before. They also head to TCU in Colorado. This team will make the playoff if they can continue to force turnovers and play a little stronger against the run. The turnover margin has to be on their side. Their offense is good enough. They're going to have to do stuff to stop the defensive side of the ball, to win on the defensive side of the ball and stop their opponents. And that's really what Oklahoma State sits. Now, there's a couple other squads I want to mention just off that top five, okay? I'm going to mention one from the Mountain West and one from the Sun Belt. I'm going to start with the Mountain West, where Boise State, 8-6, is coming in. Is this a team? Is this the team that can get into the playoff from the non-top four league? Can they be that fifth team? I think they can be, and here's why. Coach Spencer Danielson took over midway through last year and got this team rolling. They won the Mountain West hot finish, and they're poised to do it again. Dirk Cutter, the OC, runs the offense, and they are a complete offense. Maddox Mattson will get the nod at quarterback, but they took USC recruit Malachi Nelson also. I think Nelson will eventually start for this team. He's a special talent. I'm going to be excited to see what he does as a true freshman. The O-line returns four starters, including the elite left tackle Cage Casey. Best player on this team is running back Ashton Jonte. He might be the best running back in the country. I think he is because he's complete. He had 1,347 rushing and 14 touchdowns a year ago, and he added 43 catches and 569 yards and five touchdowns and through the air. He also had 267 yards and six touchdowns in game one this year. Top wide receiver, the wide receivers are they're new, but they're talented. Prince Draken averaged 22 yards per catch last year. Defensively, this team returns eight starters, including elite pass rusher Ahmed Hassanein. He had 12 and a half sacks and 16 and a half tackles for loss. Linebackers Andrew Simpson. He can also get to the quarterback, and Marco Nuttarani is expected to be strong in his first year at middle linebacker. Cornerback Marion McCoy is excellent, and the secondary and Cal transfer Jeremiah Irby can play. The safeties, Tubner, Oladipo, and Robinson were first, second, and fourth on this team in tackles. The key to this team making the playoff is to play better against the pass. When they lost last year, it's because they got eaten alive. They got eaten alive through the pass. The secondary's all back. Let's see if they can cover. This team gets to skip Fresno State, Colorado State, Air Force, and New Mexico. And their big game to me is at UNLV, who's playing better. They also have a trip to Oregon this week, which would be a big deal for them if they ever pulled that one off. The last team is our team. This is the Sports Kings from Queens team, App State, the Mountaineers. Head coach Sean Clark's team has the most wins of any team not to make the playoff during the playoff era. They won 95 games. One better than Boise State, five better than Wisconsin, six more than Oklahoma State. This could be the year because they can get that fifth spot, you know, that important fifth spot that was pointed out in this 12-team playoff. Team has a very balanced offense with two stud tackles in Gentry and Murphy. Kanye Roberts is back at running back to lead a deep group, but the key is going to be quarterback Joey Aguilar. He can run it, but he throws it real, real well. Threw for 3,757 yards and 33 touchdowns last year while rushing for another 245. They returned their top four receivers and their top tight end, led by Caden Robinson and Christian Horn. So the offense is stacked. Defensively, they were great making big plays, but need more consistency. The front six, which you don't hear very often, is young, but they're very good. Ethan Horton is an all-conference cornerback, and he has three transfers joining him back there. The linebackers are big, and they can hit, led by Caden Sullivan and pass rusher from the outside, Nate Johnson. And the line is smallish, but the 255-pound nose tackle, that's right, 255 at nose, Santana Hopper is extremely quick to lead this young group. App State will score. They will need to force turnovers to stop the run to be effective. Their big game, Coastal Carolina. Why? Because they've lost three out of four to Coastal Carolina. That game's on November 7th. They need to find a way to win that one so they have a week to prepare to play James Madison. You know, I think that they have a shot to make it. This is where we sit with a couple of teams from out of the top four conferences. Boys, where are we going now? Kev, right, you're gonna explain a little bit about what Gino was gonna do. I'm sorry.
Yes. No. So we did a preview of a lot of these teams. We're gonna go through the college football playoff predictions of about the 12 teams. Yes, it's 12 teams. Kev, why don't you tell us a little bit about the change in the format? Last year we had four teams and we kind of yelled and screamed a lot about who was in and who was out. We're going to 12 now. Tell us about the format.
Yep. So week to week, you know, start with about week five or week six, the College Football Playoff Selection Committee will release their top 25 rankings just like they've done for the last 10, 12 years. On the final rankings, they will take a look. The five highest conference champions, according to their rankings, will get automatic bids. So you're going to assume that's going to be the big four conferences, ACC, SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, and one of the non-power conferences, which sets up, like Tamara said, Boise State from Mountain West, Appalachian State from Sun Belt, maybe somebody else pops in there. The other seven will be the next seven highest-ranked teams according to their rankings. Now, the four highest conference champions will get seeded 1 through 4. Everybody else gets seeded by their rankings 5 through 12. the first round bye, the top four get the first round byes. 5 through 8 are home, facing 9 through 12 the first weekend. Then they will use the traditional New Year's bowl games as the quarterfinals, semifinals, and then they have the national championship game as a standalone game. So for this year, the first round takes place Friday and Saturday, December 20th and 21st. Like I said, at the higher seeds, 5 through 8. The bowl games this year around New Year's Day, the Fiesta Bowl on New Year's Eve. On New Year's Day, it's going to be the Peach, the Rose, and the Sugar. Those will be your four quarterfinals. The semifinals, Thursday and Friday, January 9th and 10th. Again, not to have any conflicts with NFL playoffs. They'll use the Orange and the Cotton as the semifinals. And the final game will be January 20th, a Monday night in Georgia at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Looking ahead to next year, just for example, same type of schedule, same dates pretty much line up. Difference would be the quarterfinals would be the Cotton Bowl and the Orange Bowl move back to the quarterfinals. Fiesta and Peach get promoted to the semifinals, and the finals will be in Miami at Hard Rock Stadium. Now, this only lasts for 2 years. The contract runs out after that, and they'll have to draw up a new contract for 2026. And, of course, the question will be, will there be more expansion or not? But that's a thing for 3 years from now. But that's a quick look at how they're figuring out the 12 teams and what your schedule is going to look like. Darren.
Before Darren gets there, do you guys think that based on the 12 teams we're going to see for the next couple of years, I guess we're going to see how this works over the next couple of years for them to make that decision on what they do, if they need to expand,
it's a 2-year trial run, basically. Yep. I mean, let's be honest. Could I see them going to 16? Maybe. I think 12 is probably still.
They're going to expand, but
yeah, we know it. The money's going to be there.
They're going to expand. It's about money. They're going to get more money from bowls. They're going to put more things in, and they're going to have 16 teams. And at some point, we might get to 20. And that's the sad part about this whole thing. But at the same point in time, I thought 4 was too little. I think 12 was too much. I thought 8 would be the right number. They go only college sports though goes from 4 to 12. They don't just go to 8. They'd have to triple it, just to make it more exciting.
Yep.
So now let's go. I'm going to give you guys my 12 teams, okay? I'm going to do it by seed, okay? So my number one seed is going to be Ohio State out of the Big Ten. I think they're going to win the Big Ten. I think they're the best team, most complete team in the Big Ten. I think they're going to win their conference championship, and I think they're going to end up being the one seed overall. My two seed.
I was going to say, we got
to go around. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, we'll go around. That's fine. That's fine.
I've got Ohio State as a 2 seed. Gina?
I have Ohio State as an at-large. I have Oregon winning the Big Ten.
Okay. My number 2 seed is Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss is going to win the SEC. I love this offense. I can't wait to watch this team play every week. 76 points in week one is kind of bullish, but I think that they're going to be able to put up 40 on everybody. Ole Miss is going to be my SEC representative as the 2. Kev?
I have the Mavs in at large. I have Georgia winning the SEC. Gino?
And I have exactly what you have, Kev. I have Georgia winning, and I have Ole Miss as an at large.
Okay, my 3 is going to be the University of Miami winning the ACC and getting the 3 seed. I think that what we saw from Florida State, it gives me a little bit of a cheat from watching Florida State and Clemson in week 1. But I think that what I saw from Ward, and I've watched Ward a lot at Washington State. I've been a big fan. I think that they're going to win the ACC. That's my 3 seed.
Kev? I agree with you there. Gina?
I disagree. I have Clemson winning still. I don't think – listen, I know what we saw from Miami last week was fantastic, but I think this is Clemson's conference to lose still. And I don't have Miami in.
Okay. My 4, because of the way the schedule breaks out in the Big 12, I'm giving Kansas State the nod. They play all their big competitors at home. So I'm going to give them the 4 in a really contested conference that's going to be real close all over the place. Kev?
I have it as an at-large. I do have Utah winning the conference, but I do have Kansas State as my second Big 12 team in there.
Okay, I have Kansas State winning as well. And I do not. Wow. I do not have Utah getting in.
Darren, so now we go to the five. I do not have Utah in either.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, wow. That's a big difference. Okay.
Yeah. Now I have my five seed technically. Now, they can seed them however they want from here. It doesn't have to be the five seed is not automatically the other conference team, correct?
Right, correct. My five seed ends up being Georgia.
But let's do the fifth conference winner first. So we know what the five are.
Okay. So my next conference winner is Boise State. I have Boise State getting into the dance. I think Boise State's good enough to be the 12 seed, actually, and be the last team in. But I think that they will get into the dance. Kev?
Yeah, I've got them in as the other conference winner.
Gina? Okay. I went out on a limb. Okay.
Good. One of us has to.
Austin P?
No. So I did go to the Sun Belt Conference. And I'm taking a wild card as the 12th seed to get in. I'm taking Texas State. They're gonna play well. They're gonna have a good record at the end of the year. And if a lot of these Sun Belt teams beat up on one another, they may be there at the end. So I'm taking Texas State as some wild card. Okay.
Okay.
I do not have Boise State getting in as an at large.
Okay, my next team in is Georgia, actually. Georgia's my next team in. You guys had them winning the conference. Yep. I have Georgia getting as my top at-large team.
And my next second best at-large team. The difference there is we have Ole Miss as the at-large. Yep.
Correct.
My next team is Notre Dame. I have Notre Dame getting into this tournament as the second best at-large team behind Georgia.
You guys all have
Notre Dame? We're all in agreement.
I have them in also.
My third team will be the Kansas Jayhawks being the second team out of the Big 12. I think Kansas, because of the schedule, will find their way into this dance. I think that they get in. Anybody have Kansas in or nobody?
I do not.
I do not either.
Okay.
I do not.
So Kansas is my first outlier with you guys. Okay. Then we go to my next at-large team is the Texas Longhorns out of the SEC. I think Texas will get in. Kev, I'm sorry.
Yep,
I have them in.
You have
Texas is in. Yep.
Okay, we both have them in. My next team will be out of the Big Ten. Penn State is going to get in this year, in my opinion.
Kevin? I agree.
Gino?
I agree also.
Okay, my next team is also out of the Big Ten. It'll be the Oregon Ducks getting a bid.
Yes, I agree there. The Quack Attack will be showing up in the playoffs.
Gino thinks they win it, so Gino has them in already.
Correct. I have them in already, and I don't have you guys had Ohio State. I have Ohio State in.
Yep.
So now my last team out of the SEC is the Missouri Tigers, which means I have Alabama not getting into this thing. I have Missouri getting that last spot. I think the Tigers' offense is good, and I don't know how DeBoer's been great in his whole career. I don't know how great he's going to be this year with this team. So I'm going to go with Missouri as my last team in. Kev?
I disagree. I do go SEC. I do go Old Reliable. I do go Alabama.
G?
I have Alabama was my last team in, yes. So, Kev, we're missing one team from you.
Well, I've got Utah winning the Big 12, as in I think you guys have them totally out.
Absolutely. So Kev,
from you, Ohio State, Georgia, Miami, Utah, Boise State are all the conference winners.
Yep.
And your at-larges are Notre Dame, Penn State, Kansas State, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, and I'm missing one.
Oregon?
Notre Dame? Oh, Oregon.
Did you mention Oregon?
Oregon. That's who I'm missing.
There you go.
There you go. That's who I was missing. Okay.
So these are the teams I have just missing, okay? I have James Madison getting close but coming up short. I have Utah just coming up short. I have Alabama coming up short. I have USC Clemson, Arizona, Oklahoma State, and App State because I like them. So those would be the eight teams I think are just going to miss. I mean, honestly, I'd probably put Tennessee over App State as a team that'll just miss. LSU also. So I have a lot of good teams I think that aren't in here, but I think that the top 12, I think it's going to be exciting. Now, again, Missouri and Ole Miss could both get blown out in the SEC, and neither one could get in. That's how dominant that conference is. Same thing could happen to Texas. So it's a wide open 12-team playoff. So now, G, national title game. Who's winning this thing? Or Kev, if Gino's thinking about it. Kev, you don't
think it's Gino, Georgia. Keep it thought. I think it's Georgia.
Okay. Do you have them playing anybody specifically, or are you just going to go with Georgia right now?
I don't have them playing anyone specific. Let's go Georgia, Oregon.
Okay. Kevy?
Yeah, looking at it, I had Georgia winning it, unfortunately, as well. I wanted to be different, but I guess we're going to go with chalk there. And I have them beating Ohio State in the championship game. Those are my top two seeds. I'm going to go 1-2, Georgia, Ohio State.
I have the final game of Ole Miss and Ohio State with Ole Miss winning the national championship and bringing the excitement back to the Grove in Oxford. I don't know why. I just have a feeling about this team. They spent a ton of NIL money. They spent more money than anybody else to get these players. They bought good players, Roy. Now you got to win the games. And I think that they're going to find a way to do so.
Darren,
Little inside joke from Vegas.
I'd love to see it because it's a different team in there rather than the usual teams in there. Exactly. And when you watch it.
Exactly.
And like you said, Darren, this offense with Jackson Dart and the weapons they have, this should be a fun team to watch. The SEC's going to just going to be brutal.
The Big Ten and SEC are just going to be brutal. G, you're going to say something?
As a group, we all have eight of the same teams. Okay. So there are four teams each, which we are different from one another. Although two of the three of us have Miami, two of the three of us have Boise, two of the three of us have Alabama, but we basically differ on four teams throughout all three of us. So all three of us have eight of the 12 in the same,
which is more surprising than I expected. I figured we'd have 10 of the 12. So,
yeah,
you know, before I started the project anyway, so I started working through this, but yeah, any other college football thoughts before we wrap this show up here, guys? Kev's got something.
After the first week or two, it's already looking like a fun season. We've seen some big offensive numbers. We've seen some upsets already. Buckle up. It's going to be a fun ride.
From my perspective, I hope that them going to the 12 teams makes me more interested as we get into December in college football. I'm not the biggest college football guy, so I'm hoping that the 12-team playoff will actually get me more involved. And we can take a gauge on me, basically, if it's working, going to from 4 to 12 teams. So,
And I just want to say, just so everybody's not crazy, yes, the Big Ten has 18 teams. Yes, the ACC now has 17 teams. Yes, the SEC and the Big 12 have 16 teams. So lots of teams, lots of conferences, lots of people miss. It's going to come down to scheduling in a lot of ways of who you get to miss and who you get at home. And that's going to be the determining factor of how these teams perform this year. I think we're going to have, like Kevin said, I think week one, we already had a couple of excellent games. I think that's going to continue. I'm real excited about this season.
And don't forget, for your geography lessons, the Atlantic Coast includes Cal and Stanford, among other teams.
And SMU. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep, of course.
And Rutgers plays UCLA and USC because they're right on top of each other. So there's lots of excitement that goes on in these conference games. Anyway,
backyard brawls like they have there, boy.
Oh, absolutely. There's still plenty of good rivalries, but not as good as they used to be. Anything else before we wrap it up, boys?
We're done.
We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren here with Kevin, here with Gino, talking about the wonderful, wild, wacky world of sports, a wacky world where the Big Ten has 18 teams. Yes, they won't change the name of the conference. They're going to keep it as the Big Ten. Makes no sense to anybody, but here we are. There'll be a 20 teams before we can bat an eyelash. Please download the podcast anywhere you get a podcast, whether it be an Apple product, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Spotify, whatever you like. We post a lot on social. Tell us what you want to hear more about. Tell us if you love college football and we have to talk more about it, because we will. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.